This is Ozarks at Large. I'm Kyle Kellens. With me on the phone is Michael Tilley. He is the editor and publisher of thecitywire.com that covers politics, business, culture, and more for the KUAF listening area. How are you doing on this Friday?
I am doing well. And I think, what is it? We only have 13, 14 more days till the end of the world?
Something like that, yes.
Okay.
Yet here we are still talking about things that will be going on after.
Yeah, we just don't get it, do we?
I guess not. The latest Compass report, a CityWire staple, has come out. It shows things are stable but down. I think that's the headline on the CityWire.
Right, for the Fort Smith region, stable but down. And, you know, at some point when you live in a region and the economy seems to get just a little bit worse each quarter, then when you have two or three quarters in which it doesn't get worse, but it doesn't improve either, that's kind of a welcome. It's like, okay, all right, maybe we've bottomed, maybe we can start getting better. And essentially that's what the Compass report for the third quarter of 2012 tells us about the Fort Smith region. We began this report back in 2009, and what we do is we measure eight critical economic indicators, four leading indicators, which kind of tells us where the economy may be going, and four current indicators, which tells us what was going on during the quarter. And we did this because there was no one conducting an independent economic analysis. You know, universities and businesses were doing it, but no one that just took a good, hard, honest look at it. But what we do is we grade it. And for the third quarter of this year, Fort Smith region had a C-, which means there was just some minor decline compared to the third quarter of 2012, but not that bad. A C grade means everything stayed the same. B, it's a step up. A, major improvement. Northwest Arkansas, the grade for Northwest Arkansas was a B+, and what we're seeing there in Northwest Arkansas just continued job growth, sales tax collection increases, building activities is strong there.
And you mentioned there are indicators that you use in the Compass report that try to tell us where we're going. So, any predictions for the first part of 2013?
Well, all of it's qualified with whatever does or does not come out of Washington D.C. But you know, if for the Fort Smith region, hopefully the employment stabilized. Hopefully we can begin to grow on that as long as we don't have any more hits to manufacturing. You know, we had the Walter Umarex announcement where they're going to start adding employees there at that gun assembly and distribution facility. So there are a few things going on. We've been told by the Fort Smith Chamber that there are some other announcements. So we're seeing stability there, so hopefully that'll improve. Sales tax collections, fortunately, they're not anything to write home about, but they're not negative, so they're still positive in the region. So it means the consumers in the area completely haven't lost confidence. So if that continues to show, that's a good sign for the next quarter.
I'm going to make a prediction for 2013 right now.
Okay.
Many people in Benton County will want to legally sell liquor.
Well, they have lined up left and right. 134, I think, permits. That's off by a number or two. And I think they have room for roughly 55 permits total. But yeah, we knew this was going to happen when the voters voted something like 66% to convert to a wet county. And yeah, the liquor store business is going to open up. It's still interesting. I think Arkansas liquor laws are so archaic. The story we have, it talks about how however many number of applications there are, they go into this pool and they're drawn out, and then they just, it's a random thing. They randomly draw. You could have 10 liquor stores in Elkins and 2 in Rogers. So it doesn't matter it doesn't matter what makes sense in terms of population or access. It's nice that Arkansas's liquor laws have some connection to reality.
Well, and just don't think that because you get a new liquor license in a freshly voted wet county that it's your path to riches. If you drive through Boone or Marion County now,
right,
you'll see empty liquor stores because often people think the demand is higher than it is.
Well, yeah, everybody wants to be the first market mover, so to speak, and as with any new product, and I know alcohol is not a new product, but it's new in a market, there's going to be speculation. Speculation often leads to too much supply. Mm-hmm. And if the demand's not there to meet that supply, you have I mean, I know that we in America are growing more and more accustomed to government kind of trying to manipulate the markets, but there's still this thing called supply and demand based on price points and access and that type of thing, and often it will shake itself out.
Finally, another item for 2013, the U.S. Marshals Museum is going to start the national campaign in that year.
Well, that's what they're contemplating. The first quarter of next year, beginning campaign, they have roughly $10 million in cash and pledges. I know some people in the area have been somewhat frustrated with the museum. It was first announced in 2007. They didn't get around to getting a formal campaign, fundraising campaign going until late 2009. They've only collected $10 million. I say only, that's a lot of money, but collected $10 million in that time. And, you know, it's been a rough economy, number one. A lot of the vendors, people who sell equipment and weapons and that kind of thing to the Department of Justice and Marshals, they, without a clear federal budget, you know, they don't know what they're going to have, what kind of money they'll have to donate. And, you know, and the Marshals Museum doesn't have an Alice Walton, for example, behind it.
Right.
So, you know, they're going to roll out a national campaign and hope to collect. They need roughly $50 million, but they say they can begin construction of the 50,000-square-foot museum, which will be built on the riverfront in downtown Fort Smith. They think if they have $30 million, they can begin on that. And at the end of this 18-month campaign, they hope to have that.
To be fair, they always thought that the bulk of the money would come from the national campaign, not the local or the regional.
Right. Yeah, and that's a good point. I'm so glad you brought that up, because if I hadn't brought that up, it would have been unfair to them. They've always said, we need to show the national folks that the state and local folks can step up. So $10 million, 20%, I think, and I don't know if there's some standard out there in the museum world, but that seems to be a healthy sign that the state and local folks are behind it, and then they can take that to the national, as you said, to the national campaign and sell that. You're correct.
Finally, a big surprise from the athletic world this week, the new head football coach at the University of Arkansas.
Yes, and I don't know. I hope he can make maybe we need to have a fundraiser for him, too, because, Kyle, he's only making about $8,700 a day.
Just think, Gene Chizik, who is the recently fired coach at Auburn University,
right,
is being paid $208,000 a month to not coach.
Well, wasn't John L. Smith being paid to not coach?
Not fair. Not fair.
I'm sorry.
I reject that. All right. Michael Tilley is a stand-up comic as well. as well as the editor and publisher of thecitywire.com. Michael, thank you very much.
All right. Talk to you later, Kyle.
Bye-bye.
Hello, this is Robert Ginsberg, your host for Shades of Jazz every Friday night from 10 till midnight. On this week's program, I will feature exclusive interviews with some of our local artists, including Ben Harris and Graham Stewart, two members of the Fayetteville Jazz Collective. They'll talk about their upcoming Christmas concert at Mount Sequoia with the Fayetteville Jazz Collective. And the rest of the show I will dedicate to the life and music of Dave Brubeck. I will feature works from Brubeck going back to the 50s and uninterrupted cuts that will fill an hour and a half of great music with Dave Brubeck. That's Shades of Jazz, Friday night at 10 p.m.